From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Matthew chapter 11. I don't know what you say about the sound, but you know me and the sound. I don't like this sound. Matthew chapter 11. And so welcome to our Covenant Sunday service. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, every first Sunday of the year is on our calendar, Covenant Sunday, which means the Sunday we try to, make a pledge to God. So this morning, you're going to be encouraged to make a pledge to God for the rest of the year. Because some of you, I might probably not see you until April or so. All right, so at least whilst you are away, you have something that will keep you. What do you think? That's a Covenant Sunday. Because what we do is that we don't just want to focus on what God must or should do for us. You see, you have other churches that are always looking for something from God. And many people enter relationships with different notions. Some people are attracted to a relationship because somebody has money. You get it? Some people, once it's money, they don't even care what is behind it. They'll say yes. They'll marry you. They'll go anywhere with you. Once there's money inside, they're fine. Some people, they want love, attention. You know, they want time. And some are also attracted to beauty. Some to some body parts. All kinds of things people are into. You know, yeah, body parts, limbs, and organs and ligaments and muscles. You know. But God requires us to really seek Him. Seek Him, Him, Him. God wants us. When I hear how people are so excited about the oil, I'm not excited about the oil, really. Why should I be excited about the oil as a servant of God? I must be excited about building a church. Oil is good. I hope they develop our country with the oil. But I should not. Is it? Even in churches, people are talking about the oil. Yesterday, I was watching one program. The pastor was saying, some of you don't even know that oil. It's like, so if people know oil, am I going to drink oil? I mean, it's good to have oil. Some people have had oil for about 100 years now. We are just trying to have oil now. You know, so but when I see the churches trying to emphasize a bit of the oil, I get a little vexed. Because we are the only ones who should be able to become a little immune to the things in the world. Do you get it? We are the ones that the Bible says that we are a peculiar people. It's like, these people, they are funny. They are not moved by anything. Nothing excites them. What kind of boring life is this? That's how they should actually refer to us. Because the Bible says we are peculiar people. Strange. So God wants us, and we want Him too. We must want God, not what God wants to give, not PlayStations and robots and toys and money and things, but we must want God for Him. You see, many rich people, and even in our church, that's why we encourage marriage at a certain early age. Because sometimes when you grow up and you are settled, you're looking for a wife, you can easily be deceived. Because once you have money, everybody wants you. Once you're educated and you have a certain lifestyle, everybody wants to marry you. Who wouldn't want to marry you? You ask, you cry, why are you talking like, who wouldn't want to marry you? So you have to marry when you are actually nobody. That's how you see who really loves you. But when you get the buttocks, it's only the buttocks people are coming for. When you didn't have the buttocks, where are they? When your buttocks was flat, nobody noticed you. Yeah, when you had not finished your education, nobody really liked you. Yeah. When you had your job, a nice place, everybody liked you. So God wants us for Himself, and we must want God for ourselves also. Yeah. You see, God is God. And we as Christians must really live this Christian life. You see, God is the one who took millions of people from a regular dwelling, homes, kitchen, toilet, bathroom, and took them in the wilderness for 40 years. Yet they didn't complain about a toilet. They didn't complain about water to drink. They complained at a point. They had food for 40 years in the wilderness where they didn't have gas stoves to cook. So when you come to God, you have to forget about anything that you think is important. Because He holds everything. That's what I'm saying about the oil. Not that oil is bad. Oil is good. But we should not be moved by the oil. If we are moved by the oil, then ourselves and themselves, there is no difference between us and them. How long has the earth been around? Do you get it? So we must be very, very different. And you see that most of the time we chase after these things and we don't get them. We are not happy by them. We are not satisfied by them. Because life is not just the things that He has created. Life is actually in the Creator. In Him, there is a life. The life is in Him, not in the things He has created. Are you with me? So, Covenant Sunday, we really have to assess ourselves. What am I going to do this year? Some of you last year, you didn't do well at all. You even forgot what you said on Covenant Sunday. Are any microphones on? I'm the only microphone on. I don't know why I should have these things. Any microphone that's off? Everybody else should shut off, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Unless something that you don't know about. So some of you last year, you didn't try. You couldn't do all the Sundays in last year. It was too difficult for you. 52 Sundays, you did only 50. You missed 2 Sundays. As if it's not anything. It's something. If you, when you go to school, you have to have a certain presence, percentage, in 100%, or some people take it at 95. If you go below 95 of attendance in school, you will not be moved forward. There's not no child left behind kind of thing. Yeah, some of you did 40. You missed 12 Sundays last year. Yeah. Some of you last year, you never spoke to anybody about God. So Covenant Sunday, that is what this Sunday is about. How do we look forward? What are we expecting to do? What do we want to do for God? Not what God wants to do for us. As for God, even if He does something small for you, your life will change. So you don't have to worry. We rather should be able to do more because His standards are quite bigger and wider. So we need to do more and put in some more than He giving us something. When the Lord touches you, if the Lord even touches you with this finger like that, you change. Oh yeah, if God stretches just this finger or even His nail, if He touches with His nail like that, your life will change. I mean, what more are you looking for? You and I rather need to put in more because His standards are very high. So we need more of work. The works is on our part. It's more important than what God must do. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. See, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I want to preach from the book, What It Means to Become a Shepherd. Don't sleep yet, since you know where I'm preaching from. Take up the spiritual burden. Take up the spiritual burden. Yeah, take up the spiritual burden. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," heavy laden, "and I will give you rest." Verse 29 says that, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Verse 30 says that, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. If I can have 28 to 30 one time, I'll be very excited. I'll buy you a hot dog after church. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." So this is where salvation comes in. Verse 28 talks about salvation. You are saved. You are burdened, troubled, all kinds of things in life. Then you come to Jesus Christ, and he takes the burden away, and then he gives you rest. Now, after the rest, there is something more to do. He says, after the rest now, you come, do you see the irony in this? You come with your burdens, you put it down, and then you take another burden. But this burden, rather, he says that this burden is light. It's lighter than all the ones you brought together. In other words, after we are saved, Jesus wants us to learn of him and do the things that he does. A burden, what is a burden? When we say a burden, what is a burden? The Greek is, I don't know whether it's fortune or something like that. It means obligation. Or just to read it to you, it says, it's of the obligations Christ lays upon his followers. The obligations Christ lays upon his followers. It means that when you begin to follow Christ, he lays upon you an obligation. Now, obligation is something you can't refuse. You will have to service, or you have to fulfill the obligation. This is not getting somebody pregnant and not taking care of the child, though. That one is okay. It's just you and she, you can get problems. You get wrong. That's fine. I mean, the world is not coming to an end. But this obligation, you cannot escape. It may look as if you are escaping because nothing is happening to you. Nobody is taking you to court. But you see, there's a day. The way God works, you have to understand it. He works long term. God does not judge you now. He will judge you then. So he's just heaping it up. He's just writing. He's just writing. He's just recording everything. So the fact that he's recording doesn't mean that he's not seeing what is happening. Don't be deceived. He's just recording. This is a season for records. And one day he's going to pull out the records. So those of you who think that, oh, nothing is happening, I can do whatever I want, I can behave the way I want, I can do whatever, all that is being recorded. So it feels quite okay to do anything. Intermittently, in between, you just reap what you sow. But that's not the end of it all. The reaping of what you sow, that's by principle. I mean, once you sow, once you plant something, you must reap it. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest time will not cease.
So if you do something, it comes back to you. You throw a stone against the wall, it comes back to you. It's like that. But there is a record. What you get here on earth, it is not compared to what you are going to get at the end of your life. It is incomparable. So when you are getting a little trouble here, so man, I must have done something to get this. That is little. It's little. Something that is not going well, something you are not breaking through, it cannot be compared to after the reading of the record. What you and I will deserve. So, a burden is an obligation. So, there are two burdens there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, whatever is our burden, whatever is weighing us down, God invites us to come to him. He will take that weight from us. But he says that I have something else for you to pick up after I have taken off your weight. I mean, it's a fair deal. Bring it and I'll give you. I mean, you can't bring it and then you just walk away. Say, you take it. I mean, I don't care. I don't want anything from you, but you take mine. You think about it, if it's a fair deal. You don't want to carry, but he should carry. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know my brother that he will carry. So what are you carrying? He says, bring your burdens and then take my yoke. So, when judgment day comes, for example, if he brings Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the question he will ask you is, what kind of burden did you take from me? I want to see it. And a burden is an obligation. A burden is something that bothers you. A burden is something that weighs you down. When you wake up in the morning, it's on your mind. When you walk through your day, it's on your heart. A burden is something that does not leave you. That's why I'm saying that we can't leave this thing that we have taken upon ourselves to go and think about prosperity of a nation when souls are perishing. Let those who are after the prosperity of the nation, let them think about it. We will think about the perishing of souls, the salvation of souls. That's what we must be concerned about. If you don't never find oil, people will still go to heaven or hell. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. You have to analyze this in a way. I am not saying that oil is not good for those of you who are into oil. That all your skin is it? Is it, I hear this. You have to start naming your children some oily, or some oilisha, oilina, oilistic, all kinds of things. That's what people are proclaiming. Yeah, oilita, joil. It's like something has happened here that we have never seen. No, the miracle is Jesus coming down to earth. It's one of the greatest miracles. We should rather name our children Jesus, Christmas, December. The Church of Jesus Christ must be excited about something different than what the world is excited about. Yeah. You and I will die probably without even seeing the effects of the oil. You can ask Nigerians. I have a brother from Nigeria right there. Yeah. But what? Even Venezuela. Right next to. They are coming here. When you go somewhere, they stand there selling you car polish and glass polish and all kinds of things they are selling. Because no matter what we do, nothing is greater than God himself. That's what it is. Nothing. Not gold. We've had gold. Had what? Somebody told me all the minerals are in Guyana. Manganese, bauxite, timber. Do we have diamonds? Diamonds. So me, I don't hear anything about the diamonds though. But diamonds, we have uranium. If this couldn't take us anywhere. God is fantastical. There's this song that I think is Hillsong, isn't it? He said, I spend my life to know that I'm far close. Yeah. The greatest of our God. Everything, everything, everything. You can gain the whole world. You can gain the whole world. You can gain the whole world. But your soul will be lost. And it's forever. We are not moved. Those who are going to get richer by stealing and thieving, we are not moved by that. I have everything. God, the Bible says God has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. That is what I must be excited about. That one is written. It is sure. It will come to pass. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. But this thing that is coming, we don't know what it's going to do to us. So on Covenant Sunday, let's focus. Let's look at really what we need in life and what we must do in life. We have to, Jesus said, take that which will weigh you down. He said, my burden is light. God wants you to take an obligation, a responsibility, a charge, a duty. He wants you to take that one up. Take my yoke upon. He said, my burden is light. And the burden God is encouraging us to take is just to be winners of souls. Be concerned about another person and their destiny. Concerned about the person sitting next to you, living next to you. This is so light. He's not even saying take the person to school. He's not saying marry the person. He's not saying build a house for the person. He's not saying build a road for the person. Build a bridge for the person. He said just talk to me about, let the person know about me. That's all he's talking about. It's so light a burden. Now you think about it. If I was to live with you in your house and then God says take care of me, is that easier than you talking to somebody about Jesus? Which one is easier? Hey, that's me. Hey, you take care of people? Oh Lord. At the end of the day, they'll come back and say you didn't do anything for them. That's how people are. They'll come back and say, who is that? Who's up? Marilyn? Marilyn, she rushed herself. That's what people get disappointed. Me? Helping people? Not me. Because taking care of people is far heavier. These people who say they want to lead Guyana, it's heavy. Yeah, look at how they are begging that we should give them a second chance. I thought they didn't know that we are the ones who gave them the chance. They don't walk around like that, do they? They don't behave like we are the ones who give them chances. Yeah. Now, when it's time that they come, and then when we give them the chance, then they just we have it. Another 5 years. All the things they promised, they hardly do them. Now, light is going all over. Every place is getting light. This is the time to squat, too. If you want to squat, this is the time to squat. Anything you want, this is the time to go for it. Give it to you now. I mean, I support squatting. I was in Festival City yesterday. And then, well, the house I was in behind it, as I was with the people in the house, the house is behind you, looks like a squatting area. Yeah. They say yes. I said, they will never move them. Hush. Then I saw one of them, they had blaze connection to the squat. Do you have blaze in your house? Do you have blaze? You are not blazing. The squatters are blazing. Blazerization. your DSL, even DSL you don't have. When you go home, you can't get reception. Only 2 bars. They are TV internet. Cracking people's internet passwords. people are living in a skirting area. There's no road there. They go through an alleyway. But you should go and see. Prosperity. Prosperity. Yeah. Nothing. And GDAD has supplied them blaze. Man. Yeah. You sit down and wait for people for land. When you live in your own country, you wait for somebody to give you land. The guy who sold us this property, Shatman, who died a few years ago, I think I was with him, friendship, in his house. And then I said, ha, cane. We call it sugar cane. You call it cane. So he said, sugar cane. So he said, sugar cane, can I get some? I said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, one time I saw some. I wanted to buy some. I've been trying, but he said, pastor, we don't buy cane in Guyana. You just take. I mean, it's like, hey, how can I just go and just break, you know, the guy's sugar? By that time, this farm and this Covent Garden, those areas, the cane was all over there. Before they destroyed it and then built all these roads and things. He said, just take. I said, hey, I could just jump in and just, pastor. Said, you don't buy cane? Am I kidding? It all belongs to us. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, so look for a place and squat. Yeah. Yeah, you're waiting. So, oh, if I get land, I will build. Who are you waiting for? There's land all over. Look, land all over. Even this road is land. Right there, you can put something in the middle there. Yeah, easy. Yeah, I tell you, if you use a northeast road, northeast Apenitas, there's a guy who is selling on the roadside, a Rasta man. The guy sent a place into botanical gardens, plant flowers, and then he has his own bridge over the trench where he has something at the back there. The guy is flourishing right on the roadside. Right on the roadside. Here on Mandela, close to Malti, there was a guy who was selling these letterbox and these tin things. Yeah. I think when they were doing the road, he just came and settled by the wall. Opposite, he just started his business. Without no registration, no GRA, nothing. And when they were doing the road, then he moved across to back school wall. He's there. If you go and move him, you see how people go talk. Why you are in the man? Why you say no? People will be fight for him right the way he's at. If you like go, that's what Robson Ben used to do. Breaking people's bridge and all that. You could break somebody's bridge in Guyana. And so when we're doing our bridge and the gutter out there, city council came and asked me, where is the permit? I said, he's in the office. He said, go and bring it. I said, well, the secretary is not there. He said, then you can't continue the work. I said, no problem. When he left the next morning, we're mixing cement and sand. I don't know, those from Congress, you might even know the guy. He's called Glad. He's a tall guy with a cock. Is it cockeye, you call it? Cockeye? he picks up his child. What is it? Fisher? It's your cousin. The guy's your cousin. He's a tall guy, drives 192. Every morning he will be picking up his child or something from here. Ence Roy. And then every afternoon he'll be. So he was always watching us. So when I come, I asked Wayne, I said, has he passed? Okay, let's miss cement and sand. That's how we did the gutter out there. And the bridge. They said, the bridge. This. We didn't bring a plan. Go walk around here. Walk around here and see how people are building supermarkets right around this corner here. I hope they're asking them for their permit. I passed the church. So these things are very difficult burdens. Jesus said, take my yoke and my burden is light. Just tell people about God. Check on them, pray for them. They don't even have to know you are praying for them. Whether you pray for them or not, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, nobody's checking you. If somebody was to give you, and that is what happens here. If you are a nurse, how they insult you at the ward? Nurse and insult patients. Care. Health care. I'm sure Mark will tell us if you go to Tobago. After I finished my program in Tobago, I was coming. I was on the first floor of an apartment building. I put my one leg in my shoe. Then I get a beep. I said, "What's that?" I took out my foot. I see a scorpion in my shoes. Hey, what is the scorpion coming to do here upstairs? I don't know. Scorpions can use steps and they can walk around and come like that. Yeah, after my conference in Tobago. Then I was rushed to one of the health centers around. Easy, nice, good treatment. Nowhere like Georgetown Hospital or East La Penitence Health Center. The only thing though was that this girl want to bore me. I watch it, she watching me. She said, "I should take off my pants." I said, "But girl, hey, who is you? Who is you for tell me for drop me pants?" Hey, hospital is not nice, though. The guy watching me said, "I should drop down my pants." I said, "What?" I said, "I could do it myself." He said, "No." I had to just take it like that. I had to just look somewhere. What? I tell you. I had to change my ticket, change the time, everything, call this, give him medication, injection, everything. Nice treatment. No. Somewhere around here, people don't talk to people nice, though. Yeah. They'll beat you. So when God gives you somebody to take care of, it's not even like that. It's not medication, morning, afternoon, something that somebody's watching you. You have a license, your license depends on it, and you'll be fired, you won't be paid. All those things, even though it's kind of hidden in a certain way, God is not like that. His bedding is light. And therefore, on Covenant Sunday, God is telling us to take up the spiritual bedding. It's lighter. It's lighter. It's lighter. You see, even taking care of your own child, it's not easy. Yeah? It's not easy. You can do all that. You can take that child to special school. The only child there is only your child. You can, right from there, you can take her to lesson, music lesson, aerobic lesson, swimming lesson, ballet lesson, everything. You can do all of that. But you see, you can't guarantee how this person will turn out in the future. So those of you who are into taking care of your children, you better get a spiritual child. That one, you see that God Almighty will be in there because it is his bedding. It's not your bedding, it is his bedding rather, not your bedding. But your child is your bedding. Your child is your bedding. Yeah? And it's heavy. It's heavy. Yeah? You can ask around. We have people in the church who are disappointed in their children somehow, even though they don't want to acknowledge it. Your child has not done what you expected him or her to do. Let's be serious about this fact here. Yeah. Some of your girl children, they are sexy, no? You just don't know that they are sexy. Because, yes, mommy. Yes, mommy. You can imagine your girl child sexy, you don't know? Oh, Lord God Almighty. Meanwhile, hear all them things, man. It can't be true. They said, "No, no, no, no." Yeah. Some women, it's even the fella, the uncle they have in the house, who is sexually harassing their own daughter, but they can't believe the fella. They can't believe the daughter. You have taken on a burden of a man who has corrupted their brains, that they can't even believe their own daughter they gave birth to. You try that. You try that. You try that. Yeah. You try that. That's a burden you want. You try that. One day you discover it, you broke down. You black out. Even if they use methylated spirit, you can't come back. You just broke down. Like McCall or whatever. You didn't find out. You see how your life will change. You are going to blame life. You're going to blame this. Going, oh, what do you mean? His bedding is lighter. It's light. So you take bedding. I'm telling you, I'm giving you a challenge. 2020, take up another bedding from the bedding of Jesus Christ. And let's compare at the end of the year. Who would have gone forward? Who would have been more peaceful in life? Who would have even become more prosperous? Whose life would have been better? Taking care of God's business and you taking care of your own business. We'll compare at the end of the year. If he even allows you to live to the end of the year. Me, he will allow me. You, he will not. Because you don't do anything for him, so he doesn't need you. If somebody is not doing anything for you, you don't need them. The person who does something for you is the person you want to. And the bishop even shared this secret with us. He said, anything that helps you, you must take care of that thing. You drive your vehicle, you don't want to service the vehicle, you don't want to change the tires, you don't want to... Okay, you wait. One day you are going and the vehicle say, I'm tired. Then all the fancy life you have has come to an end because vehicle ain't moving. Yes. Charlie, sister Charlie is laughing. You don't give the vehicle a good tire, you wait. If you go in a riot on the highway, you see, then you feel so shame. Now you especially if you're a woman and you are driving, they put on your hazard, then you're waiting for an angel. And it's very interesting how the girls always get people to help them change their tires. And we don't get nobody to help us change with tire. Life is not fair. It's not fair. They always get help. And they are always complaining too. Yeah. Yeah. You can ask Sherwin. The bedding of working with NTN, he'll tell you. Yeah. He'll tell you. Yeah. No, you should have shared your testimony after you were singing. You know. When you came on stage, don't use the scripture. Say, ladies and gentlemen, I want to, today this praise and worship is, I want to sing it to the glory of God. Yeah. Oh, Brother Shawin didn't share his testimony with you. Oh, Brother Shawin, you're not nice, man. You should share your testimony with people. You know, we had our last convention night, Sunday night. God moved differently. I mean, when I was in the office in the afternoon, I said it. I don't know whether people heard it. I said, tonight is action night. I felt it in my spirit that it was going to be different. And it was. Sherwin sang differently. This night, he didn't sleep. He sang. I mean, he supported me. The songs I like, he sang them. You know Sherwin, when he's singing, I was like, ooh, I mean he really did his best, I tell you. Sunday night, he sang very anointedly. It was very, very, very helpful. Well, there are some nights he sleeps. But Sunday night, he was alert. Yes. And he sang. And maybe I was very happy with my support. And I hear after the whole anointing service, he said he's going to walk taxi. He want a little cheese for the morning. After all that God has given him, he's still not satisfied. He has a belly which is heavier than the one that he has already. You should hear him. It's God who delivered him. Because the base where he works at, his car is the most special car. It's the only BMW at that place. And the only antique BMW around. Yeah. So he tells me some little girl between 14 and 16, yes, around the back school area, and he went to pick her up or something like that. And when she came into the car, she said, somebody else coming. So he said, she asking the girl, where are you going? He said, somebody else coming. He said, girl, where are you going? Where he said, Jack Robinson, some guy has come, wanted to take his key, car key from him. And so he started from his BMW. Hey, will you allow your BMW to just go like that? So he said he started, you know, kind of struggling with a guy not to take out the key. And then others came in. Others. And when they came in, then they realized that this one, bye, you got to think straight. Whatever they want, let them take it. So I think they took his wedding ring. They took out what? His money, his phone. You know the sound. You can hear it. When, Honey and Amanda, that's the end of your... No music. No one is watching this guy. You can hear the song from here. Boom, 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 boom. They took the box also. And he said they made him lie down on the ground. And one person put his foot on his head like that. Mashing his head against the ground. And the one said, let me kill you. God is very fantastic. I know they wouldn't have been able to do anything to him, but maybe he wanted to speak to Sherwin about it. He said, as his head was down, the guy was mashing his head. He'll say, oh, God, you love me. God. So his colleagues were all wondering, but you look at this, your antique vehicle. I mean, why would somebody pick you? Why would they target you? So as we were talking, I was saying that it's not the vehicle. It's the person who's driving the vehicle the devil is looking for. He's looking for you. All those who fancy cars, he'll bypass them because they didn't sing that Sunday night to make the devil hot. You are the one who just left a place where the devil was defeated. So he said, wait for him. We waiting for him. Wait. You're going to drive taxi, we're going to pick you up. You wait. That boy here, we're going to get you. That's what happened. That burden is heavy. Just going to get a little cheese. You see, if you take the burden of Christ, it's so light that you don't feel any tiredness. You are not. You see, the burden of life, that's what makes you after service. What time did you report to work? Midnight? 1 a.m.? Around midnight when people are sleeping. You are going to walk. You see the burden? It's heavy. Because Gabriel got drink milk. Gabriel drink milk. Gabriel got drink oil. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Because he has to do something. Running to get some little something. I mean, you can't tell him not to do something extra. Oh, what do you mean? The man got family. He got responsibilities. But you see, that burden is heavy. This burden we are talking about being a shepherd, that burden is light. It's up to you to choose, though. Whether you choose a heavier one or a lighter one. When it comes to money, I get money that I don't even expect. Money. I get money. It's as if I don't have a salary. I get money. It's like a day like today, I wake up not thinking about money, but before I go home, I'll get money. When you came to sing and dance and listen to preaching, I came and I got money. As I'm leaving here, I have money in my pocket as I'm going. Yeah. That's a burden I have taken upon me. And when you come, because you don't have any burden here, you have to go out there and carry the weight of the world.
And that's the weight that he has told you, bring it, let me take it away from you. You said, no, I'm a Christian, but I like to carry my burdens. Yeah. He's giving us options. He loves us. He said, take mine. No, no, no. So we entangle ourselves with all kinds of things in this life. We are still not bettered by them. We're still not satisfied by the burdens we carry. Marriage burdens. I remember I was talking to God about one of my pastors here, about their marriage. And God told me, what will marriage do for them? That's what God told me. I said, hey, those of you who are into marriage, we know you all. We know all of you are into it. It's like a fella is your only thing in life. You wait and see. You wait and see. So Jesus had a bedding. Let me give you one or two scriptures and let's close, right? Bishop said he doesn't like this 30 minutes church. Did you hear him? He gave me power. And I've been rushing to close. Thinking about how somebody, this 30 minutes church thing. No. If you go to Durban Park for APN, you do spend 30 minutes there. Yeah. Even those of you who do cancer walk and all of that. If you say, let's do Jesus walk, you not come. You can wear some pink something and say, cancer awareness. Jesus awareness is what you must match. Yeah. You say come, you won't come. Isn't it? You get it? So Jesus had a bedding. Are you with me? Yeah. Let me look for my scripture. You have the book? Okay. I'll take my time. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. So you take up education bedding, take up political bedding, take up business bedding. It's good to do all those things. Yet, there is an option. That doesn't seem so serious because it's light. The burden of God seems so light. Mm-hmm. It's like, I should come and pray. Mm-hmm. No, I want money. I want to do a course. I want to do this. I want to go for a loan and build a house. I want to buy a car. And Jesus said, just call somebody and encourage them about me. Yeah. It's so light. So light. I said, 31st December 2020, by the grace of God, let's compare notes. You compare notes. I would have traveled more than you. Huh? I'd have traveled. Already the year has begun, so I have a set of traveling to do. Maybe somebody said, you may easily not travel the whole year. Not even to babies. You will not travel to babies. Not even to Linden. Yes. Yeah. How do you go to Linden when God has not sent you there? It's only when you're going to do football. Now, I think they've stopped the football in Linden even, isn't it? The first January football. Yeah, because they will kill people on the road when they go. Yeah. I have a program in Bahamas in February. Yeah. I don't have to study nothing. I just go in. I just take my books and I go on. Yeah. Brother Mark is here. Mark Doris, Sharon's big brother. You should ask him. Tobago last year, they said this year, June, they are doing the conference again in June in Tobago. Burden is light, too. You, if you say you are going to Tobago, you gotta find money. You gotta find a place you're gonna stay. Because if you call Mark, say, "Mommy, get space." you, and then you have to spending money. Then the day you have to make sure that you don't miss your flight. Because if you misapply, it means you got to pay extra money.
I've just taken the burden of Christ. It's lighter.
And take money, look at a ticket money. Sometimes you want to use the money to do something else.
Yeah.
So how much is a ticket? $450. What? I could do something with it. It's plenty money. Well, some people don't even think about it. They don't even know the price of the ticket. Ticket is paid for. Accommodation is sorted out. Food. Sometimes when I travel, the things that the people bring into the room that you are staying in, you can't even consume it. By the time you are leaving, they have to come and collect it again and take it to their homes. Yes. It's when you go, then even they themselves, the places they've not even eaten before, that's where they will take you.
I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Just like if I go to Trinidad, they will take me to a restaurant that they themselves don't go.
Because when you live there, what are you going to do there? You're hustling.
When a bishop comes, hey, where can we take him to?
I remember saying about 2 years ago, they took me to the movie town there, the Texas to Brazil.
It's only meat. It's only meat you eat.
Yeah, so you got to sharpen your teeth when you're going there.
Take something, sharpen it.
Meat. So if it's chicken, it's baked, barbecued, fried, sweet, sour chicken. Chicken in different formats.
If it's beef, all types, all kinds, whatever. If it's pork, if it's mutton, fish, prawns.
No. At a point, and they just come. Once the serving start, about 10 people, they come to your table like that. When you finish, then they go. And before you realize, another set, they come like that. At a point, we have to tell them, no. It's okay, please, it's okay. No.
And I didn't pay. The people paid. You got to find food money.
Yeah.
And manage it so that you don't run out of money by the time you're coming. Before, if you call somebody in Ghana, please send me some West Indian or Ibrox.
Then when someone says, oh, Trinidad is a very nice place to go vacation, you say, man, the place is expensive, but me going. Me going again.
When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This was Jesus' burden. When he sees people, he doesn't look at, these people need food. They look hungry. This is business opportunity. He looks at these people, some hair product will work for them. When he saw people, he was moved. There was a very deep feeling. You see, there's a difference between pity and compassion. Pity stops short of doing something to help the situation. He had compassion on the people because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When Jesus saw people, all he was thinking of, I want to gather these people and give them hope. I want to gather these people and give them some hope and give them a purpose in life. That's what Jesus is thinking about. When you see people, what do you think about? You're looking which one you can marry. Which one fits your profile of wife or husband.
You are preaching.
When you see people, what do you see? You see an opportunity to make money. What do you see when you see people? If I get a boss, I could move, I could carry them back and forth, I could make money. When you see people, what do you think? What do you see? When Jesus saw people, Bible says that he was moved with compassion on them. Because he realized that the people needed, like when Jesus met the woman at the well. He didn't need water. He's water himself. How can water be thirsty? He's a living water. So engaging the woman was just to help her. When Jesus saw the woman, he saw a woman who was moving from a man to man, not man woman. So much of man that Jesus realized that this lady needs help.
And that many people are walking on the streets of Georgetown like that. Need help. Huh? There's a little girl in our church who has started messaging me a bit often. Someone who didn't used to talk. So when she messaged, I answer. I'm kind of taking a bit more interest in her. Answer. Then I think I asked her whether she has a Bible. She said, yes, she has a Bible on her phone. I said, do you read it? She said, no. I said, why? She said, she prefers to have, but she doesn't have a Bible, a real Bible. He said, sometimes this technology doesn't help her. Because when you go on the phone, you will not read the Bible on the phone. Bible is not phone. When you go on the phone, you're going on Facebook, you're going on WhatsApp. Whose phone is Bible? Who does Bible study on your phone? Please, give me a break. You're watching something on YouTube or doing something, chatting, video, phone, Bible. So all of you children who don't have personal Bibles, the phone is your Bible, please, buy a Bible. So I told her I'll buy a Bible for her. She said, wow. She was surprised that the bishop says you buy a Bible for her.
What a bishop. Yeah.
It's like she can, she feels, I don't know what she feels. She messaged me, and I read it, but I didn't respond then. Then I saw that she deleted all those messages, about 6 messages. You know, this, delete this. So when I saw this, I said, what's that? She said, she gets vexed when people read she message and they don't respond. Yeah. No, when Jesus saw people, you think when you see people walking around, you think that everybody's okay like how you think you're okay? And that's what Jesus is calling us to. That you look at somebody and you look beyond the person's, the way the person looks. You see, we all come here with white, black, this, face painted. But Charlie, some people are suffering, oh. Please. Some people have things on their hearts. If only somebody who's interested in them will find them in a corner somewhere. That's why it's so wrong for you to, as you've been coming to church for all these years, it's so wrong for you to just leave the church immediately the church closes. Yeah. It's so wrong. It's absolutely and totally wrong. Just after the service, there are other things you are so much into. You can't hang around for 30 minutes to talk to a young lady. One of my shepherds was telling me they stumbled on a particular person. The girl is being abused by her own father. And it's like nobody can come in because who goes to take a daughter away from a father? Well, how do you do that? Is he daughter? And he's sexy, she. Who is you problem? When the lady told me about it, I said, Charlie, this is a big problem. Oh. Because who goes into a house and takes a father's daughter away from him? We had a girl like that. Her father had sex with her and she got pregnant and she had a child. The girl died the other day. Last year, she died the other day. She used to come to our church. The father sexed her until she was pregnant. Yeah. Your skin grow? Is it skin grow? Yeah. Father putting his finger in she. Own father. And then they'll come to church and sit down there like that. Quiet, and you don't know what people are going through. So some of us or some of you who seem to have life a little, maybe just a little, you know, better than some people. So much, if you only know how much God expects of you. That what he has blessed you with for your life to become a little better, that you can use that avenue and just talk to somebody and just take somebody along. We Guyanese, we are selfish people. We hardly share our blessings. We hardly accommodate others in our rooms and in our houses. Hardly. You know, so when you see Lizzo, these girls, you brought these young girls, it's beautiful. There's so many young girls here that if some of you big women would take them, say, no, but you don't know. The girl told me that she gets vexed when people read her message and they don't respond. So she said, let me just delete them. So I said, sweetheart, Number first lesson, I am not people. Okay, my name is not people. That's first law of communication. I am not people. If I read and I don't respond, you don't even know. Maybe I am thinking about what you've said to give an appropriate answer. It's not everything you can just... It's some of these useless things. Oh, yeah, one, good. Oh, yeah, good. We eat, yeah, meat. It's useless. Somebody asks you or talks about something. Sometimes you even have to look beyond what the person is saying to find out, why is this person going on this road? So you can't just immediately respond. And then before I realize, something else has come in. So you forget. You sit on the other end saying, I vex because people reading my message and they don't respond. You see that the person has even a problem. The person has a problem. Has a problem. Some of you have been coming to church for a long time. It's time for you to also give yourself to somebody. Give somebody your time. Yeah? Give somebody some time. Be a shepherd to somebody. Yeah. It's not enough to do praise and worship. It's not enough to play instruments. It's not enough to sing in the choir. If you sing in the choir, the songs, you don't even know them well. It's true, I stuck. Yeah. But you have been in the church so long that you have something to share with somebody. 5-10 minutes, you're white, after church, you beat out. Is that what all that serving God is about? Please, it's not like that. So on Covenant Sunday, Jesus had a mission, his burden. What weighed Jesus down was people. That is why he took people's burdens to the cross of Calvary. That's why when Pilate, you see, when Peter took out his sword and he cut off the guy's ear, he said, put back the sword. I have to, because of the people, I have to subject myself to this punishment that is waiting for me. I have to subject myself to it. Don't stop it. That's why when Peter said, you will not die, he said, Satan, get thee behind me. He said, the people must be saved. I must live for people. I must die for these people. These people need me and they need help. And that's what God is calling us to. And you will hear this message over and over again in sweet and sour pot roast barbecue. As you come here, you're always going to hear it. Because that is all we believe in. That once we have given Jesus our burden, we have to take his yoke. We have to take his burden. We can't give him something and not take anything. That's not what the scripture says. So let's change. Because that's what he did for us also on the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary, he took our sins to the cross so that you and I will be saved. Bible says he took our shame to the cross so that we will be glorified. He became poor so that we through his poverty might become rich. He came and exchanged himself for us. So you can't say, oh, you take it. I won't take anything. You may not feel it now, but one day you stand before him and he'll remind you about it. So I want you to commit to something this Sunday. For the rest of the year, I want to say, Lord, at least I will talk to one person constantly for 1 month until I change over to another person. Until I see the person free, relaxed. Is everybody who smiles in church? I can crack whatever jokes. Some people don't laugh. You should come and stand on stage. You see what I'm talking about. No matter the joke, it's you who is laughing. Oh, there's somebody behind you, face is straight. The spirit of heaviness has taken over that person. There are some after church, you can ask them what did Bishop preach about. They can't tell you a word. You even be surprised whether you were in the same church as the person. Yeah, you don't know what. But is it Macbeth who said that? Shakespeare said you can't know the mind's construction in the face of a man. There's no art to see the mind, what somebody's thinking on a person's face. People smile. You don't know what's inside. If I'm not preaching well, you say I'm not preaching well. As you are even sitting down there are things that are affecting you, that you are begging by things.
If only you can get somebody who will genuinely talk to you for just half an hour, just half an hour, just a half an hour, and then pray with you and say, you know what, Father, I pray for my brother. I pray the Lord you take away this burden. I mean, you see how refreshing this person will leave your presence. You see how God will be happy, because when he came here, that was his purpose. You're happy to go to school. So this year, you turn in a teacher. Yep. Money could start coming in. Oil money. And this one here. So what? He's soldier. Oily. Oily. What? Promotion. This. That is what excites us. A picture of Mickey and her sister. Fantastic. I said, wow, people go to places. Why don't they take me with them? And they are going. Oh, me like no place for God. Me can also, when you going, take me with you. Fancy dress and all them thing. I said, people's bedding, their bedding is just to be happy. But you see, you don't get happy at the end of the day. On people. Alana, some people are hiding in the car because they don't want to do basenta. Some people, I know people are hiding in the church. We're weeding all the grass for you. I'm weeding the trees. You are hiding in the bush. Yeah, in the car. You are hiding in the church. You are setting the church on fire. All the bush, you see that all the leaves, everything will come. We'll see you standing right there, not doing anything for God. It's helpful. Remember, the record is going on. The recording is going on. The recording is taking place. One day he will open the books like that. That's why he said the wheat and the tares. He said, don't touch. Don't. That's not how you do it. Don't touch it. Enemy sowed some seeds. Don't worry. Let them all grow together. Harvest time. You'll know the difference. I want to challenge you today. You're going to write some things on, you know, for yourself. You're going to have communion and we're going to just go. But I want to challenge you this year. Rise up. Rise up. Take up the spiritual burden. Something spiritual on yourself. Oh my. You will never regret it. Take it up upon yourself. Stand to your feet as you are standing already. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Give me you, everything else can wait. Give me you, I hope I'm not. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Give me you. Yeah. Everything else can wait. Oh, let it come from your heart. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. It's me. Everything else can wait. Give
have hope of not to lay. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
It's me.
Before we move on to our vows, don't say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You see, Jesus knows you. Before you walk into this sanctuary, He knew who you are. He saw through you. He knows you are carrying weights. He knows a lot of burdens that you are not able to carry. This afternoon, the first Sunday of the year, Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will heavy laden. He wants to give you rest. You are tired. You've been trying. You've been passing here, passing there. It's not working. You've never given your heart to Jesus before. Jesus says, try me this afternoon. I'll give you rest. You're here like that. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to come to Jesus with all your burdens. You're not born again. You are not saved. You don't know whether you go to heaven when you die. You want to make that decision today. Give yourself to God. If you are here like that, I want you to just lift up your right hand. You want to say, it is me, Lord. I'm on my knees. I need salvation. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. He's looking for you. God is calling you. He knew you before you entered here. He knew you. He knew you were going to be here today. Lift up your right hand. You want to give your heart to Jesus. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to please ask you to come to the front so I can pray with you. Come to me. Come sing that song. Clap for them as they come. It's me,
oh, I'm on my knees, crying out to you.
Oh, come on, sing it, sing it, sing it.
It's me, oh Lord.
I'm on my knees. God bless you. God bless you. It's me, O Lord. God bless you. God bless you. I'm on my knees.
Please lift up your two hands with me. It's a very simple prayer. Bible says that it is with your heart you believe. If you don't believe with your heart, then you don't believe. The Bible says you believe with your heart first, and then with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is what you believe and you say that makes you saved. And so what we believe, we're going to say it now. We believe Jesus died on the cross for us. We believe that He rose again on the third day. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe Jesus is the only way to God. And so with your two hands lifted up, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is the only way. I open up my heart And I invite Jesus to come into my life, to come into my heart, to be my master and my savior. From this day forward, I accept Jesus as my personal savior. And I believe that by this prayer, my life has changed. I am born again. My name is in the book of life. I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for everyone who prayed this prayer from their heart. It is the heart you are knocking. It's the heart you are knocking, and these precious ones have opened their heart and they've allowed you, Jesus, in there. Your word says you will sup with us and we with you. Let the supper begin. Let the fellowship begin. Let the communion begin. Let the interaction begin. Let the transformation and the metamorphosis begin now in the name of Jesus. Help them to walk this walk of faith until the end of their days. Thank you for this salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.